Overdose deaths among Black and Hispanic residents have risen sharply in Mecklenburg County over the past 6 years. At the same time, overdose deaths among white residents have fluctuated. In part one of a three-part series, WFAE's Elvis Meniese explores the crisis.
A bonfire burns outside the Queen City Harm Reduction Resource Center in East Charlotte. Sitting next to the flames is Tim. Tim can remember what he used to feel like before turning to drugs.
I've done a lot of activities like playing chess or listening to music, stuff that relaxed me, or go to the movies with a friend or something, you know, of that nature. Just positive activities.
Do you want to feel that way again?
Yes, I miss that.
WFAE is only using Tim's first name so he can talk freely about his drug use. The 58-year-old says he started using cocaine in his late 20s. He recently picked back up.
When I got laid off, I ended up starting back. But it's getting better now to where I feel like I can quit again.
He says he's making progress.
I haven't used it in 3 days, which that's good. If I can continue to keep on doing it and surround myself with positive people, that's a big plus.
Illegal drug usage has affected Tim's relationship with his family.
It stressed it a real lot, but they still love me. They still, you know, just sometimes when I'm in that mode of using drugs, they just stay back a little bit.
Tim, who is African American, is part of a racial group that has been disproportionately affected by fatal overdoses. In 2019, there were 54 reported overdose deaths among Black residents in Mecklenburg County. That more than tripled by 2023, when there were 169. Hispanic residents have also been hard hit. In 2019, there were 11 reported fatal overdoses in the Hispanic community. That number rose each year till 2023, when there were 42. Nearby Tim at the resource center is Alejandro. Alejandro is originally from Mexico. He leans against the wall as he eats.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Tasty or what?
No, it's good. It's good. It's good. Mm-hmm.
What type of noodles you have?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I like it.
WFAE is only using the 43-year-old's first name. Alejandro has been attending Queen City Harm Reduction for about a year. The resource center supports people like Alejandro who struggle with substance use.
I like it, and I'm still doing it. I can't stop because it's addictive.
Alejandro says he uses crack cocaine to feel good, relax, and to concentrate. The county is expected to receive close to $75 million over the next 18 years in opioid settlement funds to help with the opioid crisis. Some of those funds are going to Queen City Harm Reduction. Lauren Kessner grabs a bunch of supplies from a table inside the building.
And they can pick up deodorant. They can pick up lip balm. They can pick up sanitary napkins, tampons.
Kessner oversees the group, which also distributes naloxone kits that help reverse overdoses. Kessner says they support about 6,000 people annually. The majority of folks are from minority communities. Kessner also says there's a reason why we see more fatal overdoses in Black and Hispanic communities.
I think that they are redlined from the access that other communities get to education, to social services, to employment services, to shelter. I mean, it's a historical trend.
She also says there's a reason why they might not want help.
If you look at what's happening today, we're seeing ICE raids. We're seeing people afraid to go anywhere. Like, why would they show up at school? Why would they go to their doctor's appointment when they could be taken away? And if you're a Black person of Hispanic ethnicity, it's not going to be that much different.
Kessner is white. She says she used to use heroin, something she says she could overcome because of her background.
I had way more help than other communities get. You know, I had parents that could support my health care when I couldn't. I had a home to stay in when I got kicked out, things like that.
She also says some community members have the resources that their Black and Hispanic counterparts don't.
We notice that our white program members are often the ones with transportation who, if they don't have a car, can access a bus line. You know, they have some education and literacy under their belt. You know, I think you can assimilate more as a white person in America.
In 2024, Black residents made up about 46% of overdose deaths in the county, even though they only account for about 30% of the county's residents. White residents still make up a greater share of overall deaths, just over half, but the number of white residents dying fell in three of the past 6 years. For Black and Hispanic residents, the number rose every year until last year when it fell. Outside the resource center is Charlotte Lott. The 48-year-old is white and says she's been in Charlotte since 2016. Lott says medical providers played a role in her turning to illegal drugs.
Initially, the doctors writing me Percocet.
Lott says she was prescribed it for a back injury. She says she was on oxycodone for about 10 years. She says she stopped using the pain pills for 9 years until her daughter died.
I didn't want to accept it at all. Still don't. But when I was on vent, it would numb it. I wouldn't have to think about it.
Lott says she's homeless. Her usage of the drug fentanyl has affected her relationship with her family, she says.
A lot of my family still say that I gotta be clean 90 days before I'm allowed back at their house. Because I done stuff. I said things. I would nod off in restaurants. Go to sleep, drooling. They said, 90 days clean, we'll accept you back.
Lott says she's been off fentanyl for 22 days. Each day is one day closer to potentially returning home to her family. Elvis Meneyese, WFA News.
That's part one of WFAE's series that looks at why fatal overdose deaths in Black and Hispanic communities have risen sharply in recent years. In part two, we speak with those who test illegal drugs and those who say they've sold it. Overdose deaths continue to impact Mecklenburg County residents. Over the past 6 years, with the exception of last year, overdose deaths among Black and Hispanic residents have risen sharply each year. In part one of WFAE's series, we explored how job loss and loss of loved ones turn some residents to drugs. In part two, WFAE's Elvis Meneyese talks with researchers who test the drugs and with those who say they sold drugs to understand why.
Erin Tracy wears a tie-dyed lab coat in a small lab at UNC Chapel Hill. Tracy explains what a nearby machine is doing to some samples in tubes.
So we're converting it from a liquid into a gas, and now those gas molecules will move through a column in this oven. And we will see what the individual components of the mixture are.
Tracy is a research chemist. She tests opioid samples like heroin and fentanyl. The UNC Street Drug Analysis Lab receives about 400 a week from places like New York, Seattle, and Charlotte.
We don't receive samples from individuals. We receive samples from a program as a whole, so a harm reduction program, a syringe service program, health department, hospital.
Nabarun Descupta works on his laptop in a nearby office. Descupta is a scientist and part of the team. Descupta is also somewhat of a genius. This year, the researcher won a MacArthur Fellowship, also known as a genius grant, for his efforts and research to reduce fatal overdoses, deaths, and harm from drug use. He says they receive mixed samples from Mecklenburg County.
The samples that supposedly are fentanyl actually have 5, 6, 7 different things in it. So when people say they're just taking fentanyl, or that's what they assume, what they're actually putting in their bodies is something much more complex.
Mecklenburg County data shows that fentanyl is one of the leading causes of fatal overdose deaths among Black, white, and Hispanic residents. Of the 125 fatal overdose deaths in the Black community last year, about 3/4 involved fentanyl. Among white residents, fentanyl was involved in about 80% of overdose deaths. And in the Hispanic community, all but but one of the 34 reported fatal overdoses last year involved fentanyl. The scoop that says some people turn to fentanyl to relieve physical or mental pain, but after using the drug for a while, he says people use it just to stop withdrawal.
Fentanyl and any of the opioids change the receptors and the chemical messaging in your brain and change the way you perceive pleasure and reward. So it's not like people are just using fentanyl to enjoy it or to get high. That's kind of maybe like an initial piece. What happens fairly quickly is that your body adapts to that chemical and incorporates it into its daily functioning.
To tackle the opioid crisis, Mecklenburg County is expected to receive close to $75 million over the next 18 years. As for where those funds should go, the scooter points towards street outreach programs.
Reaching the people greatest at risk of overdose involves working with community partners who actually know how to talk to people who use drugs, who people who use drugs will actually listen to for advice. It's not the same if it comes from a doctor or from a cop. You need people who can actually reach each other as peers.
As for what role medical establishments have to play, he says,
it's hard to get people to go in and see a doctor for their problems when the medical system has treated those same people very poorly in the past.
He's referring to Black and Hispanic residents. The two groups in Mecklenburg County have seen an increase in fatal overdose deaths each year between 2019 to 2023. The Scoopta continued.
They've had terrible experiences with doctors and nurses when they've gone to the emergency room. They find it very hard to get treatment when they need it. They're told to come back in 6 weeks when there's an open slot. So the medical establishment has repeatedly failed people who use drugs. So there's a natural distrust of these authorities.
That distrust still lingers for some community members like Robert. The 64-year-old waits outside the resource center in East Charlotte. Robert is initially hesitant about giving his last name.
You ain't the police, is you?
After informing Robert I wasn't the police, Robert opened up. Robert is an African-American. He often comes to Queen City Harm Reduction for support with housing. The resource center also supports people who battle drug use, something Robert knows about. Robert says he used and sold cocaine for several reasons.
Pleasure, money. I made money off of dope. I had been selling dope since I was 16 years old. I got to the pimp game when I was 16.
Despite how harmful selling illegal drugs could be, Robert says,
I didn't know what it was doing. See, because see, it was talked about like that. See, back then cocaine was known as the rich man high, rich man was the white man. Heroin and cocaine came back in the black neighborhoods back in the 60s.
Robert says he doesn't deal anymore for several reasons.
Life, death, prison time, watching my sisters and sell their bodies and be killed behind it. And I couldn't take it no more.
And how long did you serve in prison for?
I did 4 years.
With the opioid settlement funds, Robert wants officials to
open up more treatment centers. They need to open up some treatment centers to be serious about it.
Elvis Meneyese, WFAE News.
That is part two of WFAE's series that looks at why overdose deaths have risen sharply in recent years in Black and Hispanic communities. In part three, we explore two new programs that aim to tackle the opioid crisis and its effect on emergency departments. We also speak with doctors, those impacted by drug use, and explore the county plans with nearly $75 million in settlement funds they've expected to receive over the next 18 years. Over the past 6 years, overdose deaths among Black and Hispanic residents have risen sharply, and so has the number of trips to the emergency department because of overdoses. To tackle the crisis, the county has launched two new programs. In part three of WFAE's series, Elvis Meneyese speaks with doctors, drug users, and county staff about their plans with the nearly $75 million they're expected to receive over the next 18 years to address the opioid crisis.
Dr. Christopher Griggs walks through his office at Atrium Health's main hospital. Ambulances idle outside the ER.
We got a lot of ambulances lined up.
How many ambulances would you usually have lined up out here?
I can vary. Just depends on time of day and day of the week. But usually Monday through Thursday is our busiest time.
Griggs helps oversee a new post-overdose response team that launched in October.
We've been going out onto street corners and areas where we know there's a lot of overdose and drug use and engaging the population and building relationships.
The team's four paramedics are going to places like Uptown, public bathrooms, and left business cards with street shops. The $2 million initiative is one of the county's efforts to reduce overdose deaths, especially in communities that have been severely hard hit, like Black County residents. Greg says there's a reason why.
The drug supply in those communities probably has more fentanyl in recent years, so that's why we've seen those increases. But then those resources maybe weren't connected to that community as they needed to be.
Hispanic residents have also been heavily impacted. County data also shows that visits to the emergency department because of an overdose rose every year from 2019 to 2023. Among Black County residents, emergency department overdose visits grew from 641 reported visits in 2019 to over 1,000 in 2023. Despite those statistics, there has been some positive news. Last year, the number of fatal overdose dropped for the first time among Black and Hispanic residents in the past 6 years. It also dropped for white county residents. Greg says there are reasons behind those positive trends.
Improving access to healthcare, improving the amount of naloxone in the community, all those efforts is reducing overdose deaths. But I also think that there is likely something changing in the drug supply as well, which has been happening maybe for a couple years now.
Inside the government center in Uptown is Renard Washington, the county's public health director. He pulls up a dashboard. From 2023 to 2025, the county has allocated over $10 million to address the opioid crisis. At least $5 million is going towards housing and recovery support services.
It's very difficult to think about, you know, if you go into an inpatient environment for opioid use disorder treatment, you come out, let's say 90 days later, you've got to have a way to live. You got to have a place to live.
Funds are also going towards naloxone distribution and syringe programs. Washington credits that with lowering overdose deaths.
We've distributed more Narcan in the last couple of years than we ever have in the history of the county, as well as making sure that we are raising awareness about the risk of opioid overdose. So that work, I think, is contributing.
Inside the county detention center in Uptown, the doors open to a pod area. A security guard enters with one inmate. The 43-year-old inmate is in hopes of a little interaction with some of the healthcare staff who support him.
I can't do handshakes, Mr. I can do an air pump, but I can't. We can't. Typically, we can't.
Sorry.
The inmate, who WFAE is in identifying for legal reasons, is in the medication-assisted treatment program, which helps people get clean, a program that costs close to $2 million. The program supports people like the inmate, who says he's used heroin, fentanyl, cocaine, and Percocet to help him with several problems.
Depression, family problems, my brother died.
Originally from Puerto Rico, he said he lived on the streets before being locked up.
I was going to jump off a bridge here in Charlotte, and my friends saved me.
He has been locked up since August for possession of a firearm. Through the MAP program, he says things are changing.
It has helped me a lot. I've been calm. I'm not thinking about drugs. I'm staying busy writing. I never used to write. And I'm drawing.
About a dozen other inmates are part of the MAP program. Nurses and doctors provide their medication like Suboxone or Methadone to help reduce withdrawals and cravings. Despite efforts to stop overdose deaths, there has been a fatal incident in the detention center. A state medical examiner's report highlighted that a 38-year-old Hispanic man was found lying unresponsive in his bunk at the detention center in August and was pronounced dead. The report added that the 38-year-old was last seen alive by a healthcare professional when he was, quote, unintentionally administered a recently discharged inmate's 110 milligram methadone dose. The report stated the cause of death as methadone toxicity and the manner of death as an accident. The sheriff's office said in a statement that they couldn't comment as multiple investigations into the death are ongoing. Dr. Stephanie Porter helps support people in the MAP program. She said that for many in jail, leaving can be especially dangerous for people with addictions.
Opiates are the most dangerous, I think, in my opinion. Everything's dangerous. It's all dangerous. But people are dying out there. And a lot of times they get out of here and they die. And I don't want that to happen.
Back at Atrium's hospital, some nurses smile and laugh.
He makes it so easy.
This is so funny.
A few of the patient rooms sit empty near them. This time, Dr. Christopher Griggs doesn't have to rush in to inject someone to reverse an overdose. Only an empty stretcher awaits him. A small break in what has been a relentless cycle for doctors. And with more funds on the horizon and overdose deaths beginning to fall, he hopes that cycle is finally starting to ease in the community and for those hardest hit in recent years. Elvis Meneyese, WFA News.
That is part three of WFAE's series that looks at why overdose deaths in the Black and Hispanic communities have risen in recent years and how the county is responding. You can listen to parts one and two at WFAE.org.